If you got, I don't know how long it's going to take, a few minutes anyhow, I'll ask you some questions. Is that all right? Is this a good enough time?
Sure.
Okay. I told you in the letter, I don't know if you remember, I'm going to try to write a book on the bonus babies. Maybe a little more of a challenge trying to contact them. A whole lot of guys have not responded, so I don't know how many I'm going to get to talk to, but I do appreciate your time.
Quite all right.
If you will, just answer the questions as long or as short as you want to, and if there's anything you don't want to answer, don't answer it, and if you want to add, by all means, please add. You signed in 1955.
Correct.
$35,000? $37,500. Okay. Finding the amounts has really been difficult. You were just out of high school.
After 1 year at Notre Dame.
Oh, you had gone to Notre Dame already?
Right.
Okay. You play ball there?
No, they had JV then, freshman ineligibility rule.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, makes sense, too.
Makes a lot of sense,
yep.
But that's something I don't think we'll see again. Hadn't played since high school when you signed with the Tigers?
Correct.
Had you been pursued by more teams than the Tigers? Obviously, with that kind of money, you must have been.
I really thought I was going to sign with the Red Sox, Boston.
No kidding.
And they were the number one team that was after me. In fact, I spent a week in Boston after I finished my high school senior year and was offered $65,000 by Tom Yawkey. My father, however, was an Irish immigrant, said, no, you got a full scholarship to Notre Dame. And you're not going, and your Notre Dame education is worth more than $65,000. So he wouldn't give the permission, give me permission to sign.
He's right about that, but academic scholarship?
It was a baseball scholarship.
Oh, no kidding. How about that? Why did he change his mind when the Tigers came along?
Well, I guess I was a pain in the neck. I kept bothering him all year because I really wanted to play pro ball. And we ended up doing was I almost had to promise him in blood that I would go back to Notre Dame in the offseason to pursue my education, which I would have done anyway.
How long did it take you to finish?
6 years.
That's not bad.
No.
And you went on to get a PhD after that?
Yes.
Okay, so you were in school a long time. I can sympathize with that.
Yeah.
You went to, right here, another question. Who scouted you? Do you recall from the Tigers?
For the Tigers?
Yeah.
A fellow named Rabbit Jacobson from Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Who was the Red Sox scout?
A fellow named Bill McCarron.
Don't know that name at all.
And he was from Jersey City.
How do you spell McCarron?
McCarren.
Well, I'm not familiar with that name. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, he's probably long deceased. He was up in age then.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can turn off the ambience here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Okay.
Okay. You went to St. Peter's in Jersey City?
Yes.
Do you recall your high school record?
No.
Is it, you think it's available?
Oh, I'm sure it is, yeah. I think if you call the Jersey Journal newspaper or the high school, you'd probably get it, sure.
Like a Jersey Journal?
Yeah, that's the name of the newspaper in Jersey City.
Okay. Played American Legion ball?
No. Played semi-pro.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in the summertime.
What did semi-pro consist of?
Well, it was back when companies had teams. I played for a team called the Cloverdale Dairy Team.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of businesses had teams. It was very good baseball.
What made it semi-pro? Why wasn't it amateur?
I'm not sure where the title came from. It wasn't sponsored by, Babe Ruth or American Legion or anything like that. It was...
See, they didn't have... I'm not much younger than you, and I know they didn't have those
league.
Things. I played for one of those in California And
was
they,
that right?
They bought our meals for us, and that's why I assume we were called semi-pro, because every time we went somewhere, they fed us. But I never did understand why it was.
You were very successful. You'd end up in Wichita, huh, at the NBC?
Well, we never got too close, but yeah, that's right. Same kind of thing, I guess.
Okay, that's the level of baseball. And it was pretty good. I mean, you were playing against a lot of cases, some former minor league players, once in a while a former major league player.
Some pretty tough competition, at least the stuff in California was. I'm sure you must have been pretty doggone good to be participating at that level. Obviously,
oh, yeah.
You were.
Yeah, I played against Don Newcomb and Whitey Ford during the Korean War. They were at Fort Dix, and we played Fort Dix.
Wow.
And I was a 16-year-old kid, and I was in awe. And the O'Brien twins, Eddie and Johnny O'Brien, had a...
Uh-huh.
Who played great basketball players and then played with the Pirates a little bit.
Yeah, they're two of the guys I've got letters out to waiting for a reply from right now.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. How many years did you play semi-pro?
Oh, let me see. Sophomore, junior, senior, 3 years.
And how many do you recall, or did you ever know how many teams were scouting you?
No, I never counted them. I had played for a guy, basically a milkman, Howard Wimpy, black fella, who really taught me just about everything I knew about pitching back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the coach of the Cloverdale Dairy, and in fact, he coached Johnny Cooks, played with the Yankees.
Sure, I remember him, 18 games one year.
Yes, and Dick Brodowski, Leo Kiley, those are other names. Jim Hannon.
Sure.
All played one time or another for our Howard Wimpy.
Man must have been pretty good with pitchers.
Yeah, and old Wimpy is still alive. In fact, he came down from my presidential inauguration. It was a great thrill.
Hey, how about that? W-I-M-P-Y?
W-I-M-P-Y.
Do you know if the Kiley with the Tigers is the son of Leo?
Kiley?
Yeah, there's a John Kiley with the Tigers right now, a young fellow.
I don't know if there's any connection, no.
Okay, I don't know where he's from. Just happened to think of that when you mentioned that.
Well, you'd be interested to know that John McHale is on the Board of Trustees now at Jacksonville University.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, we just got him on. He lives here. He's got a home in Amelia Island. And John's a great guy.
How long have you been the president there?
I'm in my third year now.
How is it?
Oh, it's great. I love the school. It's a great school. It's a private school.
Oh, I didn't know that.
100 students, a beautiful campus on the St. John's River, and a very strong pre-med science programs.
Very good. Very good. Well, you certainly have come a long way from a bonus baby days. I guess very few of you fellows progressed to that level.
Well, I don't know. I always wanted to be another Dizzy Dean, and now I am one.
I like that. Do you know whose roster spot you took when you joined the Tigers?
Who? I missed that, Brent.
Do you know whose roster spot you took when you joined the Tigers?
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't. I couldn't recall, to tell you the truth.
Okay. You joined the Wren in summer of 55, mid-55.
Yes.
Okay, and did not pitch.
Yeah, they signed me with a bad arm.
Wow.
I went out there for a one-week tryout, and I think I threw every day. I threw batting practice, threw on the side, and then on Friday, the last day of the week, I didn't expect to throw, and then I don't know who said it, but somebody said, well, Muddy Rule, who was the general manager then,
mm-hmm.
They said, Muddy hasn't seen you throw, would you go out and throw, and I started throwing in on the side there by the dugout, and all of a sudden the old arm just made a weird sound, and the tendon, I just destroyed the tendon in the elbow.
Oh, man. Well, did you come?
I was really crushed. They took me to the hospital and said, well, it's not deadly, but... You know, it'll come along with rest. So they signed me anyway, and it ended up that I couldn't throw all that entire year anyway.
Well, did it come back?
Came back over the winter. We didn't, you know, we weren't into weight training back then. The trainer said, go out and bowl, do a lot of bowling. So I did, and a lot of exercise and went down to spring training and just kept working and worked it and started coming around. So I'm 56. If I iced it for like 2 days afterwards, it was fine. So I started throwing again.
Okay, the years you're in 56, in 57, you were still on the roster for half the season.
Right.
You didn't pitch. What happened when it was time when you could be sent to the minors?
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, I think they pretty well knew before the winter that I needed experience.
Sure.
And it really was a very poor rule, extremely poor. Squire is poor on the team. And certainly with pitchers, pitching, there's a lot to learn, and you really need to serve your apprenticeship.
Well, the first part of 55, I guess the Tigers had 20% of their roster was bonus babies.
Yes.
You and Kaline and Miller and Small and Bertoia.
Right.
That's
too much.
Yeah, you know, two or three is horrible. Five is...
Oh, yeah.
Well, where did you go when they sent you down?
I went to Augusta in the Sally League.
And how did you do there? How did you do there?
I did terribly. Probably the first 3 weeks, I didn't know where the plate was, and throwing balls up against the screen, because I had that long layoff and really had to relearn pitching. Then toward the end of the season last month, I started coming around and doing well.
What happened after that season?
Following season, I'm trying to think now, I played somewhat at Double-A and then back in Augusta again.
Okay, did you get to Triple-A?
No.
Okay, that was your last year?
I had one more year in Knoxville.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. What did you do there?
I showed up late. I know I missed spring training.
Because of school?
To finish school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was only there about a month before they released me.
Okay, then where'd you go once they were through?
I went back to school, went on for a master's.
Okay, good for you.
And went in the Army on the Berlin crisis.
Yeah.
And played baseball in the Army.
How did you do that?
Very fine. We had a great team. It's 10 major leaguers, 30 professional players at Fort Lewis, Washington. Had Kubek and George Thomas, a whole bunch of guys.
Well, that's impressive. Did you consider trying a comeback?
I never really considered. I tried to latch on, gave one shot. I'm trying to think. I think Jack McKeon was with Kansas City back then, and I wrote him a letter, and there wasn't any interest. But I really think that I could have continued pitching. I still had very good stuff. But the whole thing, and I've told my kids, I have a son who's in the Dodger organization now, that if you're going to be going into pitching, there's a lot to learn, and you really have to work your way up.
Where is he?
I would have done that, except for the bonus rule.
Oh, well, you're not the only one who really...
Oh, sure. It was a terrible rule.
Where is your son?
Mike is at A-ball at Vero Beach.
How's he doing?
He's doing very well. He's a relief pitcher. He's a left-hander. He's 3-0, four saves, 2.3 in ERA in 50 innings.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Well, let's wish him luck.
He's a little Whitey Ford.
Good.
He's only 5'9", 5'10".
All right, that's good. I've got a 5'9 left-hander son in college right now who wants to play so badly, and he keeps telling me his size. I'm 6'2". He wanted to be my size, and he's not going to make it.
Well, tell him that Mike Brady has showed a lot of people how to pitch. He's just a smart pitcher. In fact, Steve Boris, I was with Steve. I was down there this weekend. That's why I wasn't home the other night when you called.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve is the minor league director, field director for the Dodgers, and happened to be in town, and Mike came in a relief, and Mike just came in one inning and just 1-2-3. So I said to Steve, he said, we're very happy and pleased with Mike And I said, well, Mike's kind of funny. I said, he's not big. He doesn't throw hard. He doesn't stand out. He just quietly gets hitters out.
That's the bottom line.
And but he said, do you realize how many pitchers in the major leagues throw no harder than Mike, which is mid-80s?
Uh-huh.
And just with good control, change of speeds and location. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear. You have to tell him that, I said. Because he has an inferiority complex about his size, and you can tell your son that.
I will. How old is Mike?
Mike's 23. Pitched for Florida State.
Oh.
Got to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Always been a relief pitcher.
Well, there's money there.
Well, he likes to come in with the bases loaded and no out. I mean, I never like to do that, but he enjoys it.
Well, I will look him up in Baseball America and start seeing what he's doing. I'm glad to hear about that. What was your reception? How was your reception by your teammates when you joined the Tigers?
Mixed.
A lot of the veterans pretty antagonistic. This is a story I get from some fellows.
Not overtly, but it was there. You could detect it. There was, I'm sure some jealousy and fellas saying, look, life's not fair. Here's this young kid, never played pro ball at all, coming in with all this money and so on. And, you could understand that.
Sure.
I understood. I knew what I was walking into, and it's kind of a little bit hostile, but I think that's where I recognize the importance of a sense of humor and disarming people with humor.
Yeah, that can always, if not win them over, can sure disarm them.
Yeah, they used to refer to Jimmy Small and I as Jesse and Frank James. James boys.
Yeah.
Because we held a club up.
Yeah, with 75,000 between you.
Right.
Were there any players that went out of their way to be helpful?
Not in a professional way, in terms of telling you, pointing out some tips on pitching. I think, in terms of little things like, how to tip or how to dress and that type of thing. But on the field, professionalism, where somebody would come up and say, look, you really got to start pitching to spots. You ought to consider holding the ball across the seams as opposed to with the seams. Nobody came forth to help you in that regard, no.
So you were pretty much
really disappointed in the quality of instruction. I learned more from Wimpy than I ever learned from anybody with Detroit.
Yeah, this is not just talking to Bonus Babies, but I interview a lot of ball players, and the pitchers from that time, 40s and 50s, they said that the pitching coach was frequently an old infielder somebody owed a favor to or something.
It was a lot of politics in the game in terms of who got coaching jobs. It wasn't based on what you know, and that's probably why the New York Yankees were so strong, because they operated on a professional manner.
Mm-hmm.
And if you coach for them, you were expected to produce and teach youngsters as well as oldsters. Yankees were the exception, I think, to the rule. Most of the other teams, their coaches were politically appointed. Big names, usually. In the yesteryears, and as a favor to them, or because they had nothing else to do, put them on first base coach or third base coach. Very few were picked or appointed in a professional manner, saying, this guy really knows his stuff, he can teach, he knows the skills, he can teach young people.
That's a big, big change today.
That's changed today, I'm happy to see. And I noticed that there's much less of that today.
One thing Jim Small told me, not getting a little bit off the coaching, he said when he was at home, he wasn't allowed to stay out after 9 o'clock at night, and then 3 days later, all of a sudden, he was tipping a porter to carry his bags in New York City. He said that the adjustment was something that was tremendously difficult for him. I guess you're all the same age. It must have been awfully tough.
Sure. It's a tremendous shift in mindset.
I can imagine.
From a high school kid, and I grew up, you know, my dad was a longshoreman in Hoboken, loaded and unloaded ships.
Mm-hmm.
And both my parents are immigrants. You know, we lived in a tenement. So it was quite a change for not only Jimmy, I think for most of the guys that signed back then.
Very few of you guys, you bonus babies, were over 20, 18, 19, 17, 16 even a couple. There were a few boys that had been to college. I guess maybe that helped. But for the most part, I guess you guys were lost.
Well, it was a horrendously designed, ill-conceived rule. I don't think you could, I don't see how anybody could have stayed up any hours at night and thought up of a bonus rule. Because if you had thought about it, you would have said, this is counterproductive. It's going to hurt the ball club because you're using up spots on the roster. And it's going to hurt the young player because he's not getting any experience anywhere. He's just sitting there.
Well, also, there was, I don't know how this would ever be proven, but tremendous amount of talk then and even now about under-the-table payments and cheating on it, where some boys were actually signed for over the $4,000, but it wasn't reported as such. Did you hear about that at the time, or did you
suspect? I didn't hear much about it. I heard rumors of that effect, and, I know that was, I didn't have any proof of it, but I did hear about it, but I didn't pay too much attention to it.
Well, it was, as you say, a horrible rule, and evidently an easy one to get around and to cheat on if you... You know, I have heard, I don't know this teammate of yours, Walter Struley, Walter received more money, enough money to be stuck with the Tigers for 2 years.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what to be a fact, but he still went to the minors.
Yeah.
And I guess he gained
from that, and I think as a result, he had a better career, too.
Well, not any longer. Well, he lasted longer as a player, maybe, but I don't think he had any longer career than you did.
Right.
But still, it had to help. Playing every day sure beats sitting and watching.
You're not going to learn anything sitting around watching.
It's amazing as many bonus babies succeeded as did.
Yes.
What about... How were you received by your manager? Bucky Harris was your first manager. He liked young players, from what I've heard.
We have Bowie Kuhn, too, on our board of trustees.
Oh, boy.
At JU, and I was out with Bowie the other night, and we were talking about Bucky, and Bucky was a grand old manager, a fine gentleman, and... really showed a lot of respect for, the kids that were signed.
That's good. A lot of managers really resented them.
I didn't, and his son, young, I'm trying to think of the son's name, managed a little bit, or was general manager in the Senators organization, is also a fine young man.
Was he Stanley Jr.?
Stanley, that's
right. Yeah, because Bucky was Stanley, yeah. What about Jack Tye? He was your manager the last little while you were there.
Jack was a fellow Jerseyite. He's from Kearney, New Jersey. So I think we had a good relationship, and I know I did with him anyway. Jack was a bullpen coach,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't. To be candid, I mean, I never had an opportunity to learn anything from Jack or. In our case, Schoolboy Rowe is a pitching coach, and he's a nice man. But you had to learn from the minor leagues on up. Nobody really went out of their way to teach you or grab you on the side and say, here's how you throw the curveball, or here's how you grip a ball if you want to throw a sinker. There was none of that. And that goes for the minor leagues as well, as spring training as well.
Yeah.
The expectation was you learned by doing.
And then they didn't let you do.
And then they did not let you do. You had to sit on the bench, so you weren't going to learn anything.
Now, this next question, I know...
If they had good teachers, that would have helped a little bit. If you had a coach or coaches who would, in the bullpen, work with you and say, here's a grip on a change of pace, why don't you work on it, and that type of thing, where you were learning, even if it was on the sidelines, it would have been a help. But it's still no substitute for the actual getting in there and throwing in a ball game against hitters.
Of course not.
It would have been much better than nothing.
If this insane rule were in effect today, it might be a little different because they do have coaches who are coaches, but it would still be a disaster. You've got to do it.
I agree. I noticed that coaches are today much more coaches than then. A lot of it was political, and you hired a guy because, he may have had problems. He may have had a drinking problem. You felt sorry for him, and he had been a great player, so you made him a coach. Gave him a job as a coach.
That's a lot of business is still done that way at some levels, but it never works out.
Never works out, not at all.
If you were 19 years old again, obviously a man comes and waves a pile of money in front of you that you'd never dreamed of. You would do this again. Could anybody, in retrospect, could anybody have foreseen the disaster before it happened?
If I were placed in the same situation again, with no changes,
yeah,
I probably would have made the same mistake.
It's awful hard.
Yeah, because I love the game. I still love the game. I think it's a wonderful game. But if I were not aware of the fact that I was not going to get an opportunity to have excellent coaching and teaching, even though I wasn't going to play very much, or I wasn't going to get the opportunity of playing at all, let's say, I probably would have stayed. I would have stayed in school if I had known that.
But I didn't know that. What about your scholarship to Notre Dame? What happened with that when you signed?
I surrendered that, and I had to pay my way the rest of the way.
Did your bonus take care of that?
Yes. I made sure that that it did.
That's pretty fortuitous. Some of the guys didn't have it work out as well as you did. It's good to have to hear a story that did, and that maybe you didn't make the Hall of Fame like you had dreamed as a kid, but you...
It was an opportunity. You're always a little frustrated because all you want, I think anybody who does anything in life, you just want the opportunity to succeed or to fail. And if you're not given the opportunity, a good opportunity, then you're always frustrated and say, gee whiz, I never was in a position to say whether I could have been very good or not.
Yeah, and unfortunately, you were given the opportunity, but it wasn't an opportunity that you could have done anything with.
2 years of sitting on the bench really hurt. It destroyed me.
Well, I wish it had been a different career.
I'm just grateful. I think the good Lord, I thank God for just that opportunity. I mean, just wearing a major league uniform and meeting. I met a lot of great people and friends and a lot of fond memories and so on and so forth. And it opened up a lot of doors for me, even though I didn't play that much.
Do you still, by any chance, get fan mail from people who remember you playing?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Is it weekly? Oh, really? Is it autograph request or just letters saying they saw you, or what is it like?
Less letters now from people who saw me. They're probably deceased now.
Yeah, I guess, heck, I'm 50. You must be, what, 55 or so?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of folks don't make it. That's, I guess they are getting weeded out as you get going by.
Yeah.
And there was a kid now saying, Granddaddy said you were a good player or something like that.
Yeah. It's, I'm fortunate because I have three sons and all three have been pitchers. And the youngest one, Jimmy, is just starting here at JU, at Jacksonville University, and he could be very, very fine pitcher if he works at it. He's 6'5" now.
Oh, boy.
So.
You got it all. See, so, lefty,
you know,
too?
It's like yourself, you know, watching the boys play and always being around a ballpark. Even though I'm president of the university, I get down and watch a ball game once in a while, and I enjoy that.
Good. Good. Are all your boys left-handers?
No, the young one now is not. He's right-handed.
Well,
he's the Don Drysdale of the family.
That'd be fine, too, wouldn't it? Jim, I certainly appreciate your time
all
and
right.
your courtesy.
You live in the suburbs?
I live in Paris, Kentucky.
Oh, you're in Kentucky?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And our home team is the Reds, unfortunately. I sure wish we had an American League team around here, but...
They did a nice job last October.
Yeah, they're going to have to do an awful lot to do a nice job this October.
Well, it's hard to repeat.
Yeah, it sure is, especially the way they're playing.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a couple more questions, nothing to do with the crew actually talking about this thing now. I've recorded this, first of all. I guess I should have told you to start with.
Yeah.
It's going to take me, probably the last book I wrote took me 2 years, because I do have to eat in the meantime, so I've got to